if you had to meet someone you don't really know in New York City, and you didn't know where and couldn't coordinate when, where would you take a chance on finding them?
Well, it's a great question that a social scientist named Thomas Schelling asked his class of Yale law students about 40 years ago. A good maybe 60 or 70% of the people said that they would meet at the information booth in Grand Central Station.
That's James Surowiecki, who is with us in Grand Central Station. He writes the financial page for the New Yorker magazine, and he's the author of the new book, The Wisdom of Crowds, Why the Many Are Smarter Than the Few, and How Collective Wisdom Shapes Business, Economy, Societies, and Nations. Thanks for being with us here in Grand Central.
Thanks for having me on, and thanks for having me here.
It all begins with an ox, doesn't it?
Yeah, the book starts with the story of this ox. A British scientist named Francis Galton was wandering through a country fair one day in England. This was at the turn of the last century. And he came across this contest where people were being asked to guess the weight of an ox. Galton took all the guesses. There were about 800 of them. And he did a series of things to them. And one of the things he did was just calculate the average, which you could think of as the kind of collective wisdom of that group. And the group had thought that the ox would weigh 1,197 pounds. Mm-hmm. And the ox actually weighed 1,198 pounds. And so, for me, that's a kind of metaphor for what I mean when I talk about the wisdom of crowds.
Mm-hmm. But what do you infer from that example and
well,
so many others you're
going to? I think that the real lesson is that under the right circumstances, groups can actually be incredibly smart. And that they're often smarter even than the smartest person within them. In the ox example, for instance, there was no one in the group who did better than the crowd did. This isn't just something that's confined to sort of guessing the weight of livestock, that it actually applies in many more complex and interesting situations. But you can see the exact same phenomenon at work.
Mm-hmm. Now, you're very familiar with the stock market.
Yes.
And I'm fascinated at the way you kind of use that in the book as, well, a good place from which you take our cues where human wisdom is concerned.
Right.
in unexpected ways. I mean, you write, for example, within an hour of the 1986 space shuttle disaster, in a sense, the stock market had already registered its wisdom as to who was responsible and what would happen.
Exactly. When the Challenger blew up in 86, there were four companies that had been involved with one aspect or another of the launch of the space shuttle. And so almost immediately, the stocks of all four of those companies fell. But what was strange and interesting was that very soon after that, there was this very clear separation between one of the companies and the other three.
When you're talking about very soon, you mean a matter of hours.
I mean, it was literally a matter of minutes. Three of the company's stocks just basically stabilized, but the one company stock, Morton Thiokol stock, just continued to plummet. And what's fascinating about this, of course, is that it was officially determined that Morton Thiokol was, in fact, responsible for the Challenger disaster. So that's
They were the guys who manufactured the O-rings.
That's right.
The O-rings that
allowed the gases to seep through and blow up the shuttle. What's interesting about that is that I think that's a great example of sort of collective wisdom in action in the face of a very complicated and complex problem. But the stock market is interesting in two ways. It's very interesting as an example of the wisdom of crowds under some circumstances. But then, as we all saw in the late 1990s, during the stock market bubble, it's also a good example of how crowds and markets in general can go wrong.
Well, a couple of things you mentioned that can be drawbacks in accumulated human wisdom
right. Is
herd mentality.
Yes. I think for a group to be smart, you really need two things. You need diversity of opinion and attitude and information. So I think we sometimes think of crowds as all having one mind. I actually think crowds are smartest when people are disagreeing, not when everyone all agrees. And then the second thing you need is you need people to be relatively independent of each other so that if you're trying to, well, take the example of the ox. If you're trying to guess the weight of the ox, you're kind of thinking for yourself what you think the ox weighs rather than worrying about what everyone else believes. The problem in the stock market is that both of those things are very fragile. And that you often get what, as you said, herding, so that people basically are following each other's, taking each other's cues. And independence is very, it can be hard to come by, because if you think about what you do when you buy a stock, a lot of the time you're thinking to yourself, not so much how much is this company really worth, you're saying how much does that guy think the company is worth. Mm-hmm. And so there's always this tension, I think, in the stock market.
Luis Alvarez, the physicist, quote an observation by him in the book where he says, there is no democracy in physics. We can't say that the second-rate guy has as much a right to an opinion as Fermi.
Yeah.
Enrico Fermi, the great physicist.
Yes.
Does that kind of dash everything you argue in the book?
Well, I think there's no doubt that there are a lot of people who think that the argument of this book is crazy. But the argument of the book is not, strictly speaking, an argument against the fact that some people know more than others. The argument is that no matter how much one person knows, a group that includes him or a group that sort of embraces a wide variety of people is probably in the end going to know more over time. Mm-hmm. The other aspect of it is that I think that physics is a little different from many of the problems in the book, because you could argue, I guess, that it's easier to recognize genius. But Alvarez is operating on the assumption in that quote that we know who the geniuses are, and we know who they are in advance, so that if we're trying to solve a problem, we just go to the genius. Part of the argument of my book is that we really don't know a lot of the time where the good information is, so we just don't have a way to get at it, but that if you try to tap into the wisdom of the crowd, that's really what'll bring it out.
You seem to be making a distinction between genius and judgment.
Yes. Oh, that's a great point. I'm not saying that groups should be used to perform surgery or to fly planes or to play basketball or even to come up with, you know, radically new, innovative ideas. Those are all things that I think individuals do a much better job of. But I am saying that I don't think there is such a thing as one individual who has superior judgment to the crowd as a whole on a consistent basis. So, yeah, that's the right distinction to make.
Group of people over there behind us, looking up at the grill work and the magnificence of the building. If we wandered over them and asked them to guess your weight.
How many are there?
I don't know, looked at least 20. This is sort of cheap, but can we try that?
Sure.
Hi there. We're with National Public Radio.
Yes.
We would like to ask each of you in turn how much Mr. Sawicki weighs. They could whisper it in my ear and I could write it down in turn. Would that
be
all right?
Yeah.
Okay. Mitch, can I ask you to hold?
It'll only take like 30 seconds.
Yeah.
Here you go.
157.
Now, there's quite a range.
That's good. That's
fine. It ranges from 135 to 165. So
that's
fine. So this is a 30-pound range.
That's fine.
My calculator.
Yes, please. Thank you.
That's great.
Well, what do you come up with, Mr. Sawicki?
I weigh 151, and you guess 150.2.
Oh, my word.
That's pretty good.
Mr. Sawicki, thanks for playing the Wisdom of Crowds game on Weekend Edition.
Exactly.
James Sawicki, his new book is The Wisdom of Crowds, Why the Many Are Smarter Than the Few and How Collective Wisdom Shapes Business, Economy, Societies, and Nations.